All right, we're going to be worshiping in a second. I just want to bring this little focus as we come to worship. In Isaiah 29:13, it says this. The Lord says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based merely on human rules they have been taught." And added to that, because Jesus quotes that passage, he goes on to say this: "You nullify the word of God for the sake of your traditions." There is a huge difference between religion and heart-based worship. Because religion is all about external performance. It's about tradition. It's about just doing the things that have always been done in the way they've always been done. It's about following the rules and regulations. It's about having a fixed structure. And if you doubt that, you try changing a fixed structure, and that will upset religious people more than anything else. But worship, as opposed to that, is rather than being external, it is internal. It is from the heart. It's heart based. It's spirit led. We're stirred in our spirits by the Spirit of God to worship, and as we worship, it's always fresh. That's what I love about worship. You might have your thoughts, but God just breaks in and leads in whatever way. It's just lovely how that happens. But it's also interestingly linked to obedience. It's not a free-for-all, but there is a sense of in the heart worship that it's linked to this whole obeying the voice of God as we worship. And to illustrate that, you have this story of King Saul that you get in 1 Samuel 15. Samuel had given Saul God's instructions, and his instructions were that he was to go out and destroy all the Amalekites completely, everything, including all the animals. Everything was to be destroyed, totally. But if you know anything about that account, Saul didn't destroy everything, but he spared the king, he spared the best of the animals and herds and flocks, everything that was good. He wasn't willing to destroy them completely. And when confronted by Samuel, he made the excuse that the soldiers had spared them for sacrifice. It was a fairly weak excuse, wasn't it? And as it was going on, Samuel couldn't bear to hear anymore. And he kind of like cut across it there. And in verse 22, he says this: "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice." It's just a reminder that obedience to the voice of God, and we hear the voice of God in our spirits, don't we? Obedience to the voice of God is absolutely critical. It's not optional. It's not something that we are free to put our own spin and interpretation on. We are to obey. And remember that actually Saul had done a significant part of what God had told him to do, but not everything. And that's a personal challenge. It's personal, you know. Sometimes we can think, well, I think I've done okay. I did pretty well. But we overlook the things that perhaps we have quietly put to one side. We've left off for another occasion when God is calling us deeper into him or whatever it might be. And is looking for those who will be obedient, completely obedient to his voice in our inner being, in our spirits. So he says, "To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, or is like witchcraft, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry." I'm not at all sure that we would make those comparisons. Would we link those things? Sometimes we just think, well, it's just how I am, really. And it's showing what is really going on in the spiritual dimension when we are doing or not doing those things. And so Samuel goes on to say, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. And then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them. Now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. I mean, kind of, at one level it sounded quite good. He was recognizing what he had done. And if we're honest, we could find ourselves in similar situations. It's easy to do things out of fear, particularly out of fear of what other people might think, what other people might say, how they view it. If you're honest, I guess we're all, at least many of us, would be guilty at times of doing that. It's a big thing. He acknowledged what he had done, but the question was, what was his deeper motivation for that? And you see that in the conversation that continues, because Samuel said to him, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. Again, it's a reminder that not being fully obedient can have serious consequences. It's not a casual thing. Because we live in such a time of God's grace, we can become very complacent and think, well, it doesn't really matter. Thank God for his grace, that's good. But if you look at Titus, it tells you God's grace enables us to say no. It enables us to live uprightly and righteously before him in the strength that he provides. And as Samuel turned to leave, Saul caught hold of the hem of his robe and it tore. And Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to one of your neighbors, to one better than you. He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he's not a man that he should change his mind. And Saul replied, I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel went back with Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Do you see the bottom line for Saul? What would other people think of him? He was much more concerned about the outward appearance, about looking, going through the motions, about looking like a godly man. What would other people think about him? And it's made me think about my own motivation at times, you know, because in whatever kind of form of worship we're in, it's easy to do our best to look the parts, to fit in with what's going on around us. And when we might not really be engaging in it, it's easy that we can become external rather than internal. We can be doing it just as a pattern rather than an expression, a deep expression of our hearts. Because Saul valued being honoured rather than honouring God. And it's something that we need to think about for ourselves. Whose honour is really paramount for me? That I should be honoured or that God should be honoured? And what am I prepared to do? How am I prepared to look before others that God may be honoured? His worship, Saul's worship, was external. It wasn't from the hearts. And maybe a good question, an honest question to ask God is, how much of my worship is external? How many of the things I do are really just things that come from what is expected or what I've got used to or whatever else it might be? How much is really coming from this heart-to-heart relationship, connection with God? Samuel had already signaled Saul's replacement. We read it there. Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and given it to one of your neighbours, to one better than you. And it was something that Paul picks up there, and we find in Acts 13:22, it says this, after removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. Do you know why? We love that expression. David was a man after God's own heart. We love that. But he gives the reason why he was known as a man after God's heart, because it goes on to say, he would do everything I want him to do. That's why he was a man after God's heart. That's what set David apart. We often hear people cautioning us about making heart responses. Oh, don't get carried away, you know, just with you know, just your emotions, so to speak. You need to be rational about these things. Don't be impulsive. Don't be unwise. Think it through carefully. Think it through. Rationalize it. Make those good, rational decisions. And I know there is a place for that. But I think sometimes it's what takes precedence. I'm going to allow my head to rule my heart, particularly when it comes to worship? Or am I actually going to say, do you know what? My head might be screaming, oh, this is awkward, this is difficult. But my heart is saying, oh God, I just love you and I want to worship you. We need to be a people who have a heart to follow after God's. It's a theme that David comes back to again and again in the Psalms. Let me just give you one or two examples of that. Psalm 86, 12 says this, I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. It's a heart response. Psalm 63, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. And one of the things of worship, particularly as in song, is that it will enable us to worship with our whole being. There's something about that kind of worship that it's not just bits of us. It draws every part of us into that. And so it's not external, it's internal with an external expression, if you like. And so that's what you have. Oh, you know, that's what he's saying. My soul, my innermost being is crying out for you. You know, my flesh, I just feel it in my physical frame, but it comes from that deep place of the core of my being. And everything else responds to that. Psalm 57, 7 says this, my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I was singing, yes, I was singing praises. I just love that, this steadfast heart. Some of you know what it's like when your heart is irregular, physically irregular. And you know, it's kind of can be all over the place. But I love this thing that your heart is not talking about your physical heart now, but it's saying, I'm in that steadfast place, that secure place, that unshakable, unmovable place of worshiping from the core of my being. It's settled. It's there, there's a rhythm about it, there's a wholeness about it in that that's going on. And then it's reflected in what Paul spoke as instructions to the churches. He kind of repeated it to different churches. Ephesians 5:19 says this, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. That's where it comes from. Music from your heart, this worship. It says it again to the Colossians, similar words. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. That's the invitation. That's what he loves. Worship is heart-based. We come with hearts prepared to worship. I just encourage you, open your heart to worship this morning as we're here together. The words can be useful, but allow them to stir your heart and not simply as something that you just keep in your mind. Whatever you do, the rest of our time, as you know, is just given over to worship. Let us be those who worship from our hearts, from the core of our beings.